Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for coming and being with us, being a part. The body of Christ, how beautiful is the body of Christ. He's making us beautiful. He's getting us ready for eternity. He's purifying a bride. She's going to be presentable. She's going to be holy, without spot, without blemish. Be holy unto the Lord. And we look at ourselves and say, how can that be? It's a work of grace. It's what God does. Your holiness depends upon Him. Your being made right depends upon Him, not you. That's freedom. Whomsoever the Son sets free. Free indeed. He makes us free. He keeps us free from the law of sin and death. Translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. We've turned coat on the world, on the devil. And we've turned to the one who is the way. The only way, the only truth, and the only life. And no one comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. Yeah, well, that's not popular theology in the world, but remember, we're not setting our standards according to what's popular. We don't get our standards, we don't get our truth from CNN or Fox. Our foundation is the Word of God. What God says is true. Aren't you glad that God is not like a man, that He would lie? Whatever He says is trustworthy. Children are very trusting, very believing. And that's why children can receive so easily. Because often as we get older and we've been stung a few times in the world, you start to put up the walls and you start to doubt. And you start to lose faith in man. But, you know, God told us to put our faith in Him, right? Why? Because He's not going to let you down. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to lie to you. If He gives you a promise, He's going to keep it. That's our God. And so unless you become as children, you're converted and become as a child, you will in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. So we got to come once again with childlike anticipation, expectation, wonder, awe, adventure, as we're looking to Him, trusting fully in the grace of God. It's by grace that not only are we saved, but we're kept by the grace of God. Get yourself out of the place of being your own Savior and let Jesus set you free. Hallelujah. Struggling with sin, let Jesus set you free. Quit struggling with it. You don't have the power to overcome it. But you can do all things through Christ, who is your strength. In Him, we abide in the one who's overcome. That makes us overcomers. We're holy because we're in the Holy One. He makes us holy. We're declared righteous because we believe Him. And we come to Him and He gives unto us the gift of righteousness. We're made right with God, not of ourselves. Amen. I thank God that today I can honestly say I don't walk in condemnation today. I don't walk in fear. I don't walk in shame because I know who I am in Christ. And I know what Jesus has done for me. And He set me free. None of us here are perfect. And that's why God gave His Son for us. We couldn't live up to His standard. And so Jesus, it says He literally became sin. He became sin for us. God placed upon Jesus, the sacrificial lamb of God, the sins of the world. Every sin, every thought, every deed, everything that had ever been committed, God put it all upon the sin offering Jesus. He became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God, free from the bondage and the penalty of sin, free to run with endurance a glorious race that we're involved with right now, a walk that is glorious, that is new, that is full of life, because it's full of Jesus, who is our life. Free. See, I was trying to be free by the standards of the world. If you do this, you'll be free. If you take away all standards and all rules, you'll be free. You just do your own thing and you'll be free. How many know that God said, yes, you have a free choice. You do have a free will. You can do whatever you want. However, there are consequences for what you do. The good news is that God has a plan for all mankind, for whoever will turn to Him, to be free from the consequences of the actions we've done. To come to Him and have our sins washed away, to have a clean heart and become a habitation for God in the Spirit, where the Holy Spirit will come to dwell within us and we become His children, born again with a new day dawning, a new dawning in our hearts, and the dawning is Christ risen in us. Hallelujah. The resurrection. The Bible says in Christ that we've been raised up together with Him, seated where heaven, in heavenly places in Christ. I was just thinking about that old saying that many of us have used, what you don't know can hurt you. What you don't know can hurt you. And so the enemy is a thief and he wants to keep you from knowing what is true. So he can keep you in bondage to the lie. But Jesus came and revealed truth. These words I speak unto you are spirit and their truth. Amen. Their life. Truth is life. Truth is what is real. It's authentic. It's not an opinion. Truth is a person. He says, I am the truth. If you come to me, I will reveal the way. And I am the way. If you come to me, I'll reveal the life. What life really is, abundant life. I am the life. We are complete in Christ. Not Christ and, but Christ alone. I place my trust. Free. Sin is no longer my master. I have dominion over it. I have this thing called self-control. By the grace, the same way, the grace of God. But we have to come to Him who is the source of life. And we have to be willing to give our lives to Him. He didn't say, come and give me your leftovers. Give me your spare change. Give me 10%, 20%, 50%, 60%. Not even 95%. When you come to the place where you're all in, that's it. I repent. I'm turning away from death and I'm running into the arms of life. The only hope, the only answer, His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus is still the answer, folks, for the world today. He is the answer for the problems of the world today. The reason why we have so many problems is because man is trying to live independent of his creator.
Yes. Yes.
And we brought it upon ourselves. We say, well, why would God allow this and why would God allow that? Because God gave you and I the freedom to choose. And there are consequences for those choices. And innocent people often are affected by choices that we make. But the good news is that God has got his arms out to whoever will come to receive healing. Has anybody here received? How many here have received healing from the Lord? Look at that. Look around. How many people have received healing? Are you here today? If you need healing today, God is your healer. He loves you. He doesn't love you because you did good today. He loved you before you did good. But he doesn't want to leave us in the bad. He wants to rescue us from it because it's not good for us. He loves his kids. You see, your child has the potential and the liberty, especially if you're not looking, to go play in the mud puddle. You know, and you can give your child a bath and send him back outside again and go right back in that mud puddle. But he doesn't have to because he's got freedom to choose. You see, the devil can't make you do it. It's a choice. But we choose Jesus. We choose life. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
I've never regretted making that decision. But he didn't say, just give me part of you. He says, the whole thing. I can't help you, he says, unless you give me all of you. You want God to help you? Don't play games with him. Don't strike bargains with him. Just give him the pieces that are left over. Give him the mess. Give me life. We've all been fragmented, broken people. Everyone is. Everyone. But God is the healer. And he's the restorer of lives. He said, just give me what you got in your hand. Give me your fishes and your loaves. See what I do with them. I can multiply, even make you such a blessing. Make you a blessing. God wants to make you an incredible blessing in the earth. God wants to make you and I in Christ world changers. You can change your world. You can be the head and not the tail.
Yes, yes.
Above and not beneath. Yeah. So you're privileged. You and I are privileged to be here today. Did you know that?
Amen.
And to encounter his presence and to hear the things that we get to hear. And I put myself in that because I need to hear from God. Amen. We all need to hear from God. We don't want just to hear some dry, stuffy sermon. Amen? Rewarmed hash or whatever. But we want something fresh. We want something authentic. We want fresh bread. And God gives fresh bread if you ask for it. He doesn't give you stale stuff. He told the Israelites that every morning they were to gather the manna, the angels' food, amen, that God sent. Every day they were to collect it fresh. They were not to hoard it, lest it stinketh. It's like leaving that food in the refrigerator for months and say, what is that in the back? What's that green stuff growing back there? Yeah. God gives fresh. He doesn't give stale stuff. Amen? And we can come and eat and drink and be merry in him. That's what joy is all about. God wants his people to be joyful. And joy comes from him. He's the joy giver. We've been talking about the faith of a child for the last couple of weeks. But how many here, I got a question for you to start with. How many here like adventure? Good. Because, you know, God has put that in our hearts. When we look at children, they are very adventurous. They're inquisitive. They're open to dream. They're open to explore new things. And children are teachable, are they not? Daddy, what's this? Mommy, what's this? What's that? What's this? What's that? They go through that stage, you know, it's what's this? What's that thing? Why? Because they're teaching, they're trying to learn. There's a hunger for them to develop. There's something in them that says you need to learn so you can grow. Children have a desire to what? Grow up. How old are you? 5 and a half. You know, always trying to be ahead of their age, you know. Children are also very vulnerable because they haven't learned to be defensive or protective, especially when they're young. So they're very vulnerable. You see, we're supposed to be like that when it comes to the Lord. We're supposed to come to Him as children who are teachable, who are trusting, who are carefree. You ever notice how carefree children are? When we get older, we get bogged down with responsibility and worries and what am I going to do and how are we going to make it work? And with children, even have you ever noticed, even when you look into the places in the world where there's been tragedy, where there's been catastrophes, you know, a very, very short time after the tragedy, the children are already out playing, whether there's nothing left but mud. They're out playing and having and finding some type of enjoyment, even in the midst of such horrible conditions. You know, have you ever noticed that? They don't get hung up on what happened or what was. They're always open to the new thing. Well, it's just going to look a little different from here on out. It's simply a new chapter in my life. It's a new page. That was then, but this is now. God doesn't want you to live out of the past, out of what was. He doesn't want to live us to live out of regrets. What if I had done this? Forget about what's behind you now. God has a new beginning, a new day, a new chapter in your life. And it starts right now. Amen. Determine in your mind to become a child again, to dream again, to be adventurous again. Anytime God in Scripture, if you look and you read, anytime God made someone great, it involved this thing called divine danger. God took people, just average people, but people who were willing. They were willing vessels, and He put them in harm's way. And yet people who are in harm's way in obedience to God, He's got His eye on them. And the safest place to be is in the will of God. Amen. The unsafest place to be is in your will, outside of God's will. And this is the deception, because what God calls us to do sometimes is going to involve risk or danger. It's going to be bigger than we are. It's going to be outside of our capability, naturally speaking. So God calls us to a higher place. The Christian life is impossible apart from Christ. Come on. Sometimes we begin right, and then somewhere we get distracted. We got to get our eyes off Jesus. And then we get them on us and into self-performance and achievement. Holiness is not something you achieve. It's what you receive. Yes. It's by grace. It's not of us. Lest we should boast. I believe that in each one of us, there is a desire for greatness. In each one of us, if there's a desire to do something great for God. Is there in you today a desire for greatness? How many say, a mundane, boring, eventless life is for me? Now, if you're normal, that shouldn't be your mind. Amen? Your mindset. When you stop dreaming, it's almost like you start dying. Are you with me? When we start losing the heart of a child and we become adults, and I've got to handle it, I've got to pull it together, I've got to hold it together, I've got to make it happen. And you put yourself into that place, which is really impossible for you to continue in very long. And eventually you fall on your face because you don't have the power in and of yourself to do what God has called you to do. You don't have the power to keep yourself clean apart from the power of God. But by the power of God, you can do absolutely anything that He's called you to do. God created us for greatness because He's a great God. But folks, I want you to hear this today, because you and I are not going to get very far living in the false security we give ourselves. We give ourselves a sense of false security by sometimes trying to save ourselves from what God calls us to do, which is bigger than us. And you're most vulnerable when you say no to God. And this is the deception, because we think if I just don't do what God says, I'll be safe. I remember that quote by E.V. Hill years ago. He's an old black preacher. I used to love to listen to him. He says, "Once you hatched, you hatched. You can't get back in the shell." So you and I are out of the womb. We've been hatched, amen? And you can't get back. In Christ, folks, we've been hatched into a new identity, a new beginning, a new life, a new creation, a brand new, totally brand new creation in Christ. And we've been hatched by the Spirit of God, amen? And so God is saying, join the adventure with me. I've got a plan that's going to blow you away. It's going to be bigger than you, but it's going to be glorious. And I want you to embrace the purpose for which you were created. You yoke up together with me. Let's hook up and let's walk this thing out together. We're going to go into places that you thought you would never be. And you're going to do things that you thought were never possible. Because with God, all things are possible. And if God calls you to do something, even if it appears to be impossible, it's possible because He told you to do it. And His grace will be there when you take the step of obedience to do what He says. We need not to lose that sense of adventure. Someone once said, there is no greater danger than to think you are safe without God. There is no greater deception than to pursue security outside of God. How many know the safest place to be, once again, is in the will of God? Jesus said in Matthew 10:16, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." He sent us out as what? Sheep in the midst of wolves. How many know that a sheep in the midst of wolves is not a good place to be? Unless the shepherd is with you. And how many know that our shepherd is faithful? Our shepherd would never call us to do something without him not being there. The safest place to be is where Jesus is at. Doing what Jesus is doing. If that means going to Pakistan, amen, and preaching to the Taliban. If Jesus said, go preach to the Taliban, the safest place for you to be is preaching to the Taliban. How many know Paul the Apostle was a terrorist once? Wrote 2/3 in the New Testament. He persecuted the church. They were afraid of him. And he got born again and was radically saved. and became a powerhouse for God. How many know God wants the terrorists to be saved too? He doesn't want anybody to perish. Absolutely. He said in verse 17, "Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles," non-Jewish people. "And when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." It's not of us. It's of Him. The grace is sufficient for whatever He calls us to do. God will give you the words to speak. If He says, go talk to so-and-so, go talk to so-and-so. Because it won't be you talking. God will give you the words to speak. If He tells you to go pray for the sick, don't worry about the results. God's the one who told you to do it. He's going to take care of business. If He tells you to go somewhere where you're not comfortable being, just go and to where you're not comfortable being. Because I find that the most comfortable place is to be in the will of God. I'm talking about a comfort that comes by the Spirit of the Lord. There is a joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's a place that God will take you, even in difficulty, even in adversity, even in opposition, where His grace will much more abound, even in the situation where there's much iniquity and much sin. God's grace is greater than all that. How many know that we do the best in dark places because we're the light? Come on, we need to light up the night. We don't let the darkness encroach on us. We light up the darkness. Because Christ is in us. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. There's great joy in serving the Lord. God's great purposes are accomplished because someone was willing to say, "Lord, whatever you want, here I am. I'm willing. I'm a vessel." I have found the Christian life to never be boring or dull. People that say that's boring don't know God. Or they're living outside of God in the place of their self false security. But God is exciting. God is a life-giving spirit. So wherever He is, there's life. And when we're in Him, in His will, there's going to be excitement, there's going to be joy, there's going to be a zeal, a fire that will burn in you. What is your passion today? That's what God's purpose is for you. What are you passionate about when it comes to the things of Jesus? Amen? First of all, we're passionate about Jesus. Amen? Your passion is what you're willing to suffer for. Husbands who love their wives are willing to suffer to provide. Sitting on the lazy boy with a remote with a big thing of popcorn. Say, "Honey, would you get me that?" Yeah. No, that's not what he's talking about. But you go to work. Amen. You provide. You're willing to be uncomfortable to make someone else comfortable because you're passionately in love with that person. You love moms. You love your kids, right? You give yourself for your children because you love your children. You give your life for your children because you love your children. That's passion. Jesus was passionate for us. He loved us so much. He said, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down willingly for my sheep. For this reason I came." He came that we might have life. And He did that by giving His life in our place. If you and I want to truly be effective in advancing the kingdom of God, it's going to involve divine danger. It's going to involve us being in places that are dangerous at times. See, this is the problem. If we don't really trust God, we're not going to trust Him with the uncertainties. We're not going to trust Him with the mysteries. We're not going to trust Him when He tells us to do something that is beyond or outside of our comfort zone. If we truly trust Him, if we truly have a childlike heart of faith in our Father, knowing that our Father always has good intentions, whenever He tells us to stop something, it's because He's loving on us. Whenever He tells us to do something, it's because He's loving on us. Even if he tells us to do something that may require suffering or may require persecution or may require rejection because we are passionately in love with him, we're willing to suffer for him. Are you with me? And you won't be willing to suffer for him and have passion towards him until you have encountered the great love of God towards you. It wasn't until the day where the love of God broke through to my heart that I didn't care anymore about the opinions of others. I was desperate for God. I wanted him. I didn't care what people thought. I lifted my hands. I shouted. I praised. I got on my face. Whatever. I was hungry. I wanted more of him. When the love of God touched my heart, hallelujah, I just became so hungry for him. I became a child again. I didn't care what the opinions of others were. I love it when I see children, they just dance so freely. They're not hung up. They're not bound by what others think. Amen. We got to be children again before our King. Amen. In the court of our King. We worship. We dance. We celebrate our Lord. Amen. We're not bound. We're not allowing the opinions of others to control what we do. We allow God's voice to tell us what to do. Whatever God says, Lord, whatever you say now. I'd spent enough time listening to all the voices that are out there telling me this is the way. This is the way to be free. This is the way to be cool. This is the way to have it all. Now I'm listening to the voice of truth. It tells me a different story. It tells me if you really want to be great, come to me. Because I put greatness in you. But the only way you're going to discover that is by yoking together with me and walking together with me. And God wants to take us into places that we've never thought would be possible, even places you never thought you'd go before. God has called me at times to go into places that I would have never chose to go into. But when I knew God was pricking my heart and he was telling me, I want you to go and I want you to do this. I want you to speak to this group or that group or whatever. It's like, okay, God, I'm going to do it. I haven't always done it. Sometimes I've resisted, but God kept on me and he said, come on, get out there and do it. And finally, the day I get out there and do it, I said, wow, how awesome it is to obey God. Because the grace of God was there. The power of God was there. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, there's no fear in the will of God. I'm going to say it again. There's no fear in the perfect will of God for you. Because the will of God is that you abide in his love, that you abide in him. And in that place, there is no fear. God wants us to be free from that. If you get fearful, it's because we're stepping out of Christ. Are you with me? We need to stay. We need to stay abiding in him. Worship him in spirit and truth. Walk with him. Pray without ceasing. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ that concerns you. Continue. Daniel was sent to the lion's den for praying to his God. David had to face the giant Goliath in battle. Moses had to contend with the evil Pharaoh. Israel had to face many dangers in the wilderness. The disciples had to face the angry mobs and the officials of their day. God's will for your life will often involve you being in a place where there's danger or potential danger. Are you willing to go anyways? Listen, folks. I used to want to be great in the world. Now I could care less about that. But I do want to be great in the kingdom. And I know you do too. If you're in Christ, God's put that in you, in your heart, to do something significant. To make a difference, to make an impact, to be a world changer. God's put that in your heart. Am I right? Yes. And it's the great adventure that God is calling us into. And he's going to call you outside of yourself into him. He's going to call you to do something that's beyond what you can do. But if you will obey his voice and do exactly what he tells you to do, you'll find that his grace is going to be right there. It wasn't until I was willing to go over and say, hey, have you heard about Jesus? All of a sudden, whoosh, Spirit of God comes on you. Oh, life is good in the God zone. And you can do things that were impossible naturally. You know, none of us can heal anybody. God does it, but we do it as we're abiding in Him. Miracles are from God. He wants you to be, amen, involved in what He's doing. And God is doing miracles today. How many here have received a miracle from God? Look at that. Look at that. How many here need a miracle from God? All right. All right. That's good. Just seek and you'll find. Keep pressing in. You know, there's times in our lives, let's face it, when we just want to escape everything. Has anybody ever felt that way? You just, even when you went on vacation, it seems like your problems are still plaguing you. You ever been there? You thought, well, if I just get away for a couple weeks, and you get away and you can't stop thinking about all your problems back home, it's almost like I got to get back and start handling these problems. We've all had this sense that we need an escape. God is trying to teach us to escape in Him. Find rest in Him. Find refuge in Him. Find that place of perfect peace in Him. You're not going to find it geographically. If I can just get into a new church or a new school or a new wife or a new husband or a new this or a new that, new job, whatever it might be, I'm going to be happy. No, you're not going to be happy until you find contentment in the Lord. And God can bring things into your life that are good for you, but God wants you, first of all, He wants our heart. He wants us to learn how to find rest in Him. The psalmist said in Psalms 55 and 6, this is how David felt. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Now, how many know David had a lot of problems? Indeed, I would wander off, far off, and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. But then in verse 22, he says this. This is what he concludes. He concludes with this advice. He said, cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. Why are you carrying it around? He's saying, give it to God. Now, he had been carrying it around. Obviously, he's saying, if I could just escape all my problems. But how many have ever talked yourself out of a problem? You ever been to counseling, maybe, or sat with somebody who was just a friend, who were talking about your life? And as you're talking, you're answering your own questions. But at first, you didn't have the answer. But the more you thought out loud and you spoke out loud, all of a sudden, you're like, you're answering your own question. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Maybe I ought to do that. So David is speaking to himself. He's saying, oh, if I just had wings, I could fly away and be at rest. If I could just escape into the wilderness, whatever, I'd have a place of refuge there. And then finally, he comes to the conclusion that by the end of the psalm that, no, cast your burden, where? Upon the Lord. He shall sustain you. Folks, there are people who, unfortunately, they don't understand what God is making freely available to them. They don't understand how awesome and wonderful His presence is because they've been shut down. They've never opened their heart to allow Him to come and really flood them with His presence. And so then they're going to pills and they're going to dope and they're going to counseling. And for years they're paying all their money into counseling and they're going there and they give you a pat on the shoulder and say, you'll be all right. See you next week. That'll be. And all they're doing is they're putting a Band-Aid on something that's deeper, that they can't heal. How many know that a counselor can't heal the heart? He can expose what's there. He can show you what's there, but they can't heal the heart. Only God can heal the heart. So quit putting Band-Aids on your life and give your heart to Jesus Christ. Give your life fully to Him. Open yourself up and let God heal you. Let Him give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. He says, you're going to find rest in me, rest for your soul. We all know that when you are born again, you enter into a spiritual war. Before you came to Christ, how many know that when you're in bed with the devil, for a while, it seems like this is all right. We're having fun. But then things begin to turn on you. Things begin to get bad. And they get worse and worse and worse. At one time, we were on top of our game. Party animal. I can handle it, you know. Next thing you know, before you know it, you know, drunk, rolling in your vomit in the gutter, whatever. You know, the devil has been destroying. Until the day that Jesus breaks through into your heart. And he reaches out his hand to us and he says, take hold of my hand. I'm going to pull you out of that. It doesn't matter how bad it looks. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how far away you've gone. All you need to do is turn back to me. And I will heal you. I will restore you. Yes. In fact, as a matter of fact, we're going to have a celebration.
Amen.
Because this, my son, was lost and is found.
That's right.
Amen. Was blind. Now we see. The most vulnerable place to be, folks, is out of the will of God. So we need to remember who we belong to. We need to remember this also, folks, that once you enter into this war, this spiritual war, if you try in your own willpower to defeat your adversary, you're going to lose. He's smarter. He's bigger. He is more powerful than we are naturally. That's why so many of us have, you know, can testify of the destruction that's been brought on by listening to his voice. That's why we look around in our world and we see all the dysfunction. It's because we do have an adversary. It's because men have chosen their will apart from God's will that we have the problems today. The solution is to return to your Creator. By Jesus Christ, who is the door, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The good news is this, is the battle is the Lord's. We need to remember that. Jesus has already defeated our enemies. He wants us to walk by faith in the victory that he has already achieved for us. Jesus wants us to walk by faith in the victory he's already achieved for us. When he hung on that cross, he spread his arms and he says, what? It is finished. It's done. It's finished. He has destroyed, hallelujah, the power, amen, of the devil. Jesus has overcome the world. And therefore, as followers of Jesus, as his people, as those who have been born of his Spirit, as those who have received the Holy Spirit of God, amen, that he dwells in our hearts, if that is you, then you also are an overcomer. You also have victory. You also have the ability, amen, to say no to sin. Because sin is no longer your master. You're under new headship now. You take your orders from your new commander now, Jesus. And so if God says stop, it means that he's given you the grace to stop. Whatever God speaks, he's going to back up what he says. If he says, go and do this. Oh, God, I can't do this. No, you can't, but I can. But I need a willing vessel to use. Just believe. So God is going to call you and I into divine danger, into places and things he's going to call us to that are definitely outside of our comfort zone. And has anybody realized that yet?
Yeah.
God, he calls us out of our comfort zone. He stretches us out of our insufficiency into his sufficiency, out of our inability into his ability. Out of our defeat into his victory. In Christ, we are overcomers. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If God says do it, you can do it. If he says stop it, you have the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. You can stop it. And folks, we are not to put our faith, our trust in any other thing and any other God. Amen? Hallelujah. Some people are depending on dope, you know, to make them feel good as an escape. I've been there, done that. And I discovered that my escape is not found in a substance. It's found in a person. My escape is in him. There is a place called the secret place of the Most High. Psalms 91, verse 1. You know that. Yep. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There is a place of quiet rest near the heart of God. There is a place where sin cannot molest near the heart of God. There is a place of refuge in God. There is a place where your problems and your worries and your fears disappear. It's near the heart of God. And he's trying to teach us to find rest in his presence and not depend on anything or even anybody else except him. Do you know your marriage will work a whole lot better if you both learn how to depend on him first? And then you come together, it's beautiful. But if you're expecting your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or your girlfriend to complete you or to fill you or to make you happy, you're looking in the wrong place. Because they've got problems just like you do. But if both of you look to him, he will heal, he will restore, he will unite you, and you'll be perfectly one in Christ. You'll be on the solid foundation. Oh, hallelujah. So, here we are. We've heard the word. We've heard this message today. God's been speaking to some of you this morning very clearly. You know what he's asking of you. He's asking for you to make a complete surrender of your life. Because what he has for you is so much better than what you think you're going to be losing. Whatever you give away for God, you never lose. If you give your life to him, you'll find it. But if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. So we're here today. I want to challenge you. If you're here today, you've heard the message. God is calling you to himself. God wants you to become a child before him again. Be trusting. Believe his word. Hear what the Spirit is saying today to you. Be willing to receive him. Be willing to go with him. Be willing to hear his voice and obey his voice. And God will take you on this great adventure called life. Life in the Spirit. It's a higher life. It's a superior reality. It's way better than the temporary reality of this world. He will take you into heavenly realms. He'll take you up into places where eagles soar. Huh? Where the wind is on their wings. They're no longer flapping and struggling. They're soaring on high with him. God calls you higher. He calls me higher. I want to be caught up in your presence, Lord. Folks, once you're hatched, you're hatched. You can't go back inside that shell. No matter what, we live in a world full of danger. The safest place to be is in the will of God. Everyone is going to suffer in this life. I know that's no new revelation. Some more than others. But if you're going to suffer, suffer for being a follower of Jesus. And don't suffer because you did foolish things. Enough of that. Amen? Enough of that. I want to give my life to Jesus.